Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, well, well. I really think that we do not understand what we're doing on this earth. We do not realize that we're here just for a little while, and then we're going to die. And then we're going to stand before the King of Kings. Now just think, only a few Sundays ago, we had a man that died in 1979 standing right here, did we not? And he'd been a Baptist preacher? Is that right? Had he raised, I forget, 27 or 33 children, whatever it was? 32 or what, something. Him and his wife had raised all these children, and they'd done all kinds of good things. He'd been a police officer. He'd done all kinds of things that looked like good. But when he died and got to heaven, was the master happy with him?
No.
Out of his own mouth. He said the Lord was not pleased with him. Now, let me tell you, when I get there, I don't want to hear that. I do not want to hear that. I want to be in obedience to His Word. I want to be a man that walked in integrity. I don't want to hear the Lord say, I'm not happy with you. I think there's more truth in this, but I heard J. Vernon McGee. How many of you have ever heard of J. Vernon McGee? Okay, he's a great pastor, Presbyterian man, but I heard him tell this story one time. He says, there was a pastor that of a big church. And I mean, he was a pastor of a big church. I mean, he was well known on television all over the world and everything. And then it come his time to die. And he died, and he got to the gate, and St. Peter led him in and says, let me take you around and show you around. And so he's going down the street, and all of a sudden he looks up here, and here is this magnificent mansion. I mean, it's a gorgeous place. He said, wow. Whose house is that? Oh, he said, that's Sister Mary Magdalene. And he said, who's Mary Magdalene? I said, well, she was in your church. She was a member in your church. You didn't know her? He said, no, I didn't even know her. And he said, wow, to think she was a member of my church and I didn't even know her. Did she get the house like that? Wow. So they go down another couple of streets and he said, there's another gorgeous mansion. Who is that? He said, well, that was Brother Bob. And he said, Brother Bob who? He said, you don't know him either. He was in your church also. And he's thinking, wow, if Sister Mary got a home like that and Brother Bob got a home like that and I didn't even know then, man, I can only imagine what I'm going to get. You see, God looks on the heart. And so Brother J. Vernon McGee said they walked down the end of that street and turned right on Glory Boulevard and went out on Hallelujah Boulevard and went way out into the back 40 out there. And he said, there was a little bitty shack. And he said, whose is this? He said, that's yours. Now, you know, there may be some of us wind up like that. I hope not. But let me tell you for sure, if you think for a minute that you're going to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and don't do nothing for the King, you don't go out and tell people about Jesus. You don't go to church. You don't tithe. You just give a little here and a little there. And you think you're going to get to heaven, you're going to be blessed with a mansion. You got another thing coming. That's not what that book says. You got to do something to get rewards in heaven. Did he tell us?
Yes.
To build our treasures where?
In heaven.
In heaven. How do you do that? And there's going to be a lot of Christians that's going to get there that's not going to be able to understand why they're in the back 40, way out there. Do you want to be one of those? No. Well, you better get busy and do something for the King. You're right? I think that's a word that we all need to hear. That wasn't my message today, but it is a message. And it's a very good message because I think too many people in church today think that we're just going to live like we want to down here on earth. And then we're going to die and we're going to go to heaven and the Lord's going to be sitting there waiting, well done, my faithful servant. And I think we're going to be just like Howard Pittman. I think we're going to have a rude awakening. It really makes me think. I mean, Howard was a preacher. And he preached in churches for, what did he say, 20-something years or something like that? And then all them children him and his wife raised and all the police work he did and everything else. And then he gets there and God says, Howard, I ain't happy with you. Do you want to be like that? No, I don't either. So I think we need to really get busy in these last days and do something for the Lord. If helping the poor and the needy and the children has anything to do with your rewards, I might see if I could visit with Cheryl once in a while in her big house when I get there. She's got something she wants to say about the children.
Thank you. Okay, most of you know it's Christmas here, and these little yellow slips tell you what we're doing. And I just wanted to tell you what our goal is and what we've done so far. Right now we have, I think it's 11.5, something like that, we've raised. Our goal is to raise $100,000 and provide Christmas for the needy in Dallas-Fort Worth, Metroplex, Christ Haven for Children, Grace, which is Grapevine Relief and Community Exchange, Wings of Hope, which is an organization that American Airlines captains and attendants put together, and somehow I got involved through my daughter, and also the Salvation Army. And I want to tell you a little bit about some of the children. Some of these children, like 5-year-old Catalina, she's never experienced the love of Christmas. She's never seen baby Jesus in a manger, or she's never received new clothes with tags on them. And some of them are coming out of homeless shelters, hunger, abusive family situations. Most of the parents are in the prison system, and the foster children cannot be adopted. And we're striving to meet the community needs of those out of work, the homeless, and the catastrophic situations where they receive help from Christ Haven or Grace or Wings of Hope, Salvation Army, wherever they're getting their help from. One of the little girls, she's 9 years old. That means she's in the fourth grade. She wears a size 16 girl's pant, and she wears a size 1X, 2X top. Now that tells you that little girl's been abused, okay? I just know. And so those are the kind of kids we're helping. These are not just kids that just need a place to go. These are kids that have had terrible abusive situations. We're also helping the teen moms that are there. There's one teen mom who's 14 who's having a baby this week. That means she got pregnant when she was 13, right? She's 14, and, you know, she's not asking for a lot. She's asking for a lot for the little boy. His name's Jonathan. He's going to be born November the 9th without pain, in Jesus' name. And then another little girl, she is 16 and has a little girl, Irene, who's 1, who I bought her a whole bunch of stuff last night. It was fun. I went shopping again last night. And so far, we've gotten $1,200 in Kohl's cash and $1,500 in grants. And I just filled out 21 grants for Walmart, so hopefully some of that will come through. Last year, I think we got $4,000. Yes, in Jesus' name. They decreased. Used to, you could ask for $5,000, but now they've all decreased to $2,500, which is good. We're currently fundraising through the generous support of Friends, Family, Corporations, and Bucks, which they give those trike bikes for the people that are paralyzed from the waist down. They always give me money every year. Other ministries, and also strangers walk up to me sometimes and say, "What are you doing?" Because I'm buying so much stuff. I have so many carts. I really am getting strong in my right arm. Anyway, last year we raised $72,900, and we provided Christmas for 3,839 children and elderly. We bought for 8 nursing homes last year, by the way, if you didn't know that, and 253 needy children, needy families. So over the past 11 years, we've raised $506,500. That's over $500,000. I say that's just so amazing. And we not only provided Christmas for Christ Haven, but we also did it for Open Arms Women's Battered Shelter in Azle, the Tarrant County Single Mothers and Children, obviously over in Fort Worth, Tarrant County, Adopt a Family in Azle, mentioned Grace already, which they benefit Grapevine, Colleyville, and Southlake, and the Salvation Army in Denton. They benefit also Corinth and Little Elm, the 8 nursing homes in Denton. And we also did a UPC Hearst Children's Bus Ministry. We did that several years, and also homeless, unemployed, needy families who call in and just need help, people tell us about. Anyway, God bless everybody that helps us, and anybody that wants to wrap. There's so much stuff that you wouldn't even believe it. We need help wrapping. So Dee was Adrian's wife, was nice enough to come out this past week, and she did a lot of wrapping. I want to thank Sharon and the Rosenfeld children for the tree and the decorations over there. They did a lovely job. Give them a big hand.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we praise you and thank you that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. I thank you, Lord, that 12 years ago, how you moved on Cheryl's heart when I made a statement. I had no idea a day when I made that statement, Master, that Christmas is for children. Do something for children. I had no idea how you were going to move on Cheryl's and Christy's heart, and that over the next dozen years, they would raise $500,000 through your help. You've done it all. And Lord, all these children, thousands of children and families have been helped in these dozen years because we made one little statement in church. Lord, we never know what we say, how it's going to affect the world. But that one statement changed this Metroplex in a tremendous way, beyond my wildest dreams, what you can do when we just make statements. Lord, I thank you that you are that God. I thank you that you listen to every word that comes out of our mouth, that we will either be judged or we'll be acquitted or we'll be condemned with our words. Lord, help us to say the right things. Help us to be about doing your work on this earth. In other words, building our treasures in heaven so that one day when we get there, you will say to us, well done, faithful servant. That's really what we all want to hear, but we fail to remember what is required to make that happen. So, Lord, I thank you and praise you. I thank you for the great trip that you gave Jeff and his team as they went to Israel. I thank you how you blessed them and all the different people that Jeff got to share with. And, Lord, I just give you praise and glory and honor for all the wonderful things that you do all over the world. And I know that you're sovereign and you're in control, and so I have no fear about today or tomorrow, what it holds, because I know who's in control. It's you. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for the awesome privilege to be your son, to be able to stand here in this pulpit every Sunday and to teach your people your word, and for you to change their lives. Because Lord, I present to them the word of God just exactly like you wrote it. And I praise you and thank you for touching their lives and their hearts and moving on them and teaching them how to walk with you and be obedient to your word. And Lord, now I pray for our government. I pray for starting from the top, Obama, right on down, that you will give them, all of them, the Congress, the Senate, everybody, all the Supreme Court justices and everybody else that's in government, from the top to the bottom, I ask you to give them knowledge, wisdom, revelation, and understanding of your word, that they may learn and understand who you are, that you may change them. And I know if we don't pray, you won't do nothing. But when we pray and ask in faith, you will move by your Spirit and step upon the hearts of these men and women and change their lives forever. So you told us to pray for our leaders, so Lord, that's what we're doing. We're praying and asking you to change them and make them more like Jesus. Lord, we need leaders that are like Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for doing that. We give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen, amen. Now that we got a person visiting today that hasn't been here in about 6 years, and it's DeWitt, and he wants to give us a testimony. Some of you don't know DeWitt because this is the first time he's been here in forever. Been a long time, but he used to come to Dallas all the time, so praise the Lord.
I'm surprised you remember my name.
Amen, praise God.
About 8 years ago, I started going to Thurman's Church, and I started hearing about, of course, the Caitlin's miracle, one of the greatest miracles I've ever heard of. And how's she doing, by the way?
Great. 15 years old, just doing great.
That's wonderful. Anyway, I started hearing all the testimonies, and I got all of his stuff, mainly because it's free, because I've taught one. And I started listening to it all the time. In fact, my wife thought I was going fanatic. She said, I think you're starting to worship that man. And I said, no, I'm worshiping the man that created him.
Amen.
Anyway, so my faith got so high, I started asking God to heal me. The first thing he healed me of was 52 allergies. And then he healed me of 29 other things. I like to count each allergy, so it makes 81 things.
Amen.
Anyway, you would not believe, you know, anybody could be a spirit-filled believer and have all those miracles and yet fall into depression. But I not only fell into depression, I was actually suicidal. And I knew it was satanic. I didn't know what caused it. I tried everything to get out of it. The devil had me convinced that I was going to hell, that I'd blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And I had all these preacher friends and the church, the Sunday school. I mean, everybody praying for me. And I just kept getting worse. And this went on for 8 months. And my wife got so bad that I had to put her in the nursing home. Thank God she's in the hospital rehab right now. But anyway, at that time, it looked like she was going to be in nursing home for the rest of her days. And thank God that didn't happen. But anyway, I really got depressed when I thought she's, you know, I'm going to hell. My wife's, you know, in nursing home. So I'm sitting there at a computer chair, I said, God, what in the world can I do to get out of this depression? He said, call the Godwins. David and Doris Godwins are friends of ours that are missionaries in Mexico. So I immediately picked up the phone and called, and Doris answered and talked to me for an hour, prayed for my wife, prayed for me. And when she started praying for me, boy, I got happy because she was saying things in that prayer only God and I knew. I never even told my wife some of these things. So I knew I was going to get healed. I thought it'd be instantly, but it wasn't. I went to bed that night just as depressed, but I just knew I was going to be healed, just didn't know when. So I woke up the next morning completely, 100% healed.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And that, after I quit praising the Lord and kind of felt like I was back to earth again, I said, God, what did I do that let the devil get such power over me? You know how long it took him to answer me? Half a second. He said, your tongue. He said, there's life and there's death in the power of the tongue. You can bless yourself or you can curse yourself with your own tongue. He waited a couple of seconds, let that sink in. He said, what have you been doing? I said, oh, wow. He said, you didn't realize what you were doing, but you opened the doors wide open for the enemy to come in. You were speaking power over to them because you were saying things like, I'm stupid, I'll never be able to learn anything, my wife's going to end up in a nursing home, I'm going to hell, all these things. And he said, you were just giving them legal right. So they were just having fun with you. And he said, now you know what it was. So don't ever do that again. So anyway, God just, I mean, I could go on and on, but you came to hear him preach, not me. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, DeWitt. Praise God. Wow. Your tongue. If you haven't listened to the teaching I've done on the tongue, I have a CD back there that's three CDs long. If you have not listened to that, you need to listen to that. The tongue. The tongue is a very powerful thing, and you need to pay attention to what you say. You know, listen to what you're saying, because all of us fall short with our speech. We say things we shouldn't say, all of us. I don't care who you are, me included. You know, I fall short many times, you know, because there's one thing I have to remember. I'm still just a speck of dirt. I hate to say that. But that's all I am, just a speck of dirt. And you're just like me. You're a speck of dirt. You know, so what can God do with that speck of dirt?
Anything.
He can do anything if you'll yield yourself to him. Now I'm going to go back to Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 3, and I'm going to start right there. I'm going to use everything in the NLT today. I want to use the NLT, and I want us to look at what God says and look at the promises that God made us. In this book of Ephesians, this is an absolute awesome, awesome book. And I want us to see, we don't believe what's in this book. In fact, I was telling Jeff earlier, I said, you know, I had somebody come to see me here a while back, and they said, you're the greatest man of faith I have ever seen in my life, and I know you believe everything in God's Word. I had to tell them, I said, well, no, that's not true. I said, I do believe some of it. I'm trying to believe it all, but I said, if I believed it all, I would be raising the dead. I would be cleansing the lepers. I would be seeing awesome, mighty miracles beyond my wildest dreams if I believed it all. Is that right?
Yeah.
Does the Word say we can do those things?
Yes.
The Word says it. I'm not there yet. So if I was there, hey, it would be no problem. You know, I mean, if I was there like Peter, I mean, I just walk by and say, oh, no problem. Just let my shadow fall on that guy. He just had an aneurysm and drill failed. Let me get where my shadow can. Oh, looky there. The Lord rose him from the dead. Now, see, that's where we should be living, right?
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I ain't there yet. I'm not there yet. And I don't know anybody in here that's there yet, do we? We're working on it, though, aren't we? Now, he has blessed us with things beyond our wildest dreams. And he tells us in this magnificent book. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, start with verse 3. And he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now that's a King James, but let me read it in the King James. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, in other words, hath or has already blessed us with, what is that word right there? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I want us to meditate on that a minute. I mean, I have thought about that. I have meditated on that. And I'm thinking, as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Now, first of all, let me ask you this question. How many of you in this room know beyond a shadow of a doubt you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God? Okay, now if you know that, and there's no doubt in your heart that you're a believer, he's writing this to us. Is he not? This is written to us. Now then, Paul, I can just see Paul standing on the hills of Ephesus right now with his hands up saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already blessed us. In other words, you know, the day that the Lord told me to build this church, and I got up that morning after I'd stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning drawing this thing, I got up the next morning at 6 o'clock, as soon as it was daylight, and I was out here with my tractor grading off this ground right here, and I backed off, I'm looking at this thinking, wow, one day I'm going to have a church right here. I'm going to see you do great and mighty things right here. Now then, if one I'd have said that, all of a sudden, kaboom, the church appeared. Totally, completely finished. You know what I would have said? I'd have probably said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's already blessed me with a building completely built. Can you get excited about those kind of things? Can he do that? Yes, he can do that. If I had the kind of faith it took, I could see him do those kind of things. But I don't have that kind of faith. You know, I have to get in there and work. And I mean, I think about the men that helped us and everything, the fun we had building this building. But just think, from the day I started grading off that ground, since we're not in an area where we have numbers, we're in Denton County, but we're not in any city. Now, I was very fortunate when I came out here years ago and I bought this piece of property, 100 acres here I have. When I bought this, there was no city. Later, North Lake incorporated and became a city, and they had to go around and get all the people in North Lake to join their city. I told them, I said, there ain't no way. I moved from Louisville to get away from a city, and now that I'm away from it, I said, I know what happens when I join a city. I fall under your rules, and then I got somebody else that's telling me what I can and cannot do with my own property. I said, no way. I am never going to join your city. I said, I happen to like to build a barn once in a while, or I might want to dig a ditch, and I don't want to have to come get a permit to do it. So I said, as long as I can stay out of it, I'm going to stay here. And so they tried and tried and tried to get me to join their city, and I never would. Well, when it come time for my neighbor over here, lived right across the road up there, he wanted to build a little horse barn. He had to go get an engineer and an architect to draw up that dinky little barn for his horses. He had to get approval and everything. And everywhere when he put anything in it, electrical or anything else, he had to have a building inspector come, and sometimes it'd take him a week to get there. You know, I mean, hey, and so when I told him, I said, that's why I will never join your city. So by not being under anybody's authority, being an engineer and an architect myself that have built buildings all over the world, it was no problem put this little building together. This is kind of a small thing. But by not having anybody there that I had to listen to, nobody, no city, no nothing. From the morning I got on my tractor and started grading this ground off to smooth it up, to put up the forms, until we had the first service in here was 2 months later. Now 2 months, we graded the ground off, poured the concrete, done everything. If I had been in the city of North Lake and I had went to the city and said, I want to build this building down here, that it said, give us at least 4 sets of complete drawings and engineering drawings and specifications and everything. In about 2 or 3 months, we'll probably let you be able to tell you whether you can build it or not. And that, I know. I've been through that with cities. I mean, in Detroit, when we built our building on the airport in Detroit, we had all the drawing specs and everything there, and it took the city, the airport board, 9 months just to approve our building. 9 months! Just to get approval. So you see what happens. When you're subject to all kinds of authorities, you can't get nothing done. So I can just see Paul now. I mean, and that's just like me. I can stand out here saying, bless God, praise God. When I look at my 100 acres of land here, it's under no jurisdiction to nobody. I can build anything I want to, do anything I want to. I can praise the Lord for that. But that's nothing compared to what he's given me in the spirit world. What I have in the spirit world. I mean, it's just think. Look what he says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with how many? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, the first one, the most important one of all those spiritual blessings is salvation. And I hope everybody in this room has accepted that free gift. He blessed us with salvation. And did he make it difficult? All I got to do to come into the kingdom of God, I don't care how wicked I have been, I don't care how old I am, if somebody comes and say, I come up to this guy, and let's say this guy sitting right here in the blue shirt, let's say he has been the meanest man for 40 years of his life that any human being could be. I mean, he's beat his wives, he's lied, he's stole, he's cheated, he's the worst guy, I mean, murder, I mean, he's done it all. And I come and say, you know, Jesus paid the price for all that. If you'll just come into the kingdom of God and accept him as Lord and Savior, he'll wash away all of your sins. He'll forgive you of everything. And you can become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And if this man's got any intelligence at all, he's going to say, that sounds too good to be true. Is that right? And whenever you think, okay, now then, of all the wicked stuff I've done, you mean he's going to forgive me of all my junk? And he's going to wash me and clean me up and give me a place in heaven? And I don't have to go to hell when I die? I said, yeah, it's all already been paid for. He looks at that and this is what we say. That's too good to be true. That can't be true. Usually, anytime something appears to be too good to be true, what's usually the case? Yeah, yeah. Usually that's the way it is. It's too good to be true. You know, I mean, there's people... I mean, that's just like here a couple of years ago, well, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. There was a couple that come to our church here from another city, Lubbock, Amarillo, or somewhere. And they sat down with Cheryl and I said, we want to talk with you after church today. We have something very important. I said, okay. So we made a place for them. They come and sat down with us and said, we have been notified that my wife is the heir of a large sum of money, millions of dollars. Now, when we get this money, we want to tithe off of this to your ministry because we love your ministry. I said, well, that's great. I said, that's wonderful. But I says, how did you learn about this? They said, well, a lawyer called us and told us that my wife had this inheritance. And I said, so where are these people from? He said, they're from Nigeria. I said, I'm going to tell you, how many million dollars did they say? Said, $10 million comes to us. I said, okay, was there anything you had to do to get this? Oh, yes, we had to send them $10,000. I said, have you done it? They said, yes. I see, my heart was broken. I said, this is a scam. I said, coming out of Nigeria, that country is the worst country in the world for scams. I said, anybody and everybody has done any reading knows Nigeria is a scam country. Yeah. And anything and everything they send out, is they're scamming you. And they said, but Thurman, we've checked this out. We believe it's real. I said, I don't care what you checked out. I'm going to tell you it ain't real. I said, they're not going to give you, if they had $10 million in the bank down there and it was yours, tell them to take some of that money out or whatever, but don't call and ask me to send you $10,000 so I can release the money. I said, I'm guaranteed you've been scammed. And I said, you probably never hear from them again. Well, guess what? They never heard from them again. They got their 10 grand And that was their retirement money. They were retired. They were older. They were scammed. And what gets me is they were Christians. Now, see, they're fine Christian people, but they're not spending as much time in the Word as they need to, because if they had been in the Word, like I'm in the Word, the minute those people come to them, the Holy Spirit would have said, it's a scam. Don't trust them. Is that right? But either they didn't hear, or they got, when they started talking $10 million for $10,000, all you got to do is come up with $10,000 to get $10 million. I mean, if somebody walked in here and said, Thurman, I got $10 million right here in this suitcase in American dollars. If you'll give me $10,000, I'll give you this suitcase of money. Hey, let's get some armed guards around here and, you know, let me get my boys in here with my guns and we're going to stand here. Okay, then let me have this money certified. I check this out. If this $10 million is really good stuff, and I take a roll of it to the bank and they check it and say it's all good. I said, okay, here's 10,000. I'm going to give. That don't make sense, does it? That I can give you 10,000, you're going to give me 10 million. There's something wrong with this picture. So when it sounds too good to be true, that's the way we look at things in the world, isn't it, Eric? I mean, in the things in the spirit. If you're a worldly man, obviously you are at that time if you're involved in all that. And I tell you the best thing that ever happened to me, and it's free to you. Don't cost you nothing. You don't have to do nothing. It's already been bought and paid for. All you got to do is just receive it. I'm here handing it out to you, and all you got to do is reach up and take it. That sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? And you know how many people turn Jesus down because it sounds too good to be true? Thousands of, millions of them. I mean, here we are trying to tell them, this is the best thing in the world, knowing Jesus. Now, let me ask you this question. I asked you the first question a while ago. I said, how many of y'all are born again Christian? I think everybody in this place held up their hand. Now, let me ask it another way. How many of you that held up your hand a while ago saying you are a born again Christian are sorry you became a born again Christian? Oh, gee whiz, not a single taker. In other words, we're all grateful that we've become sons of God, right?
Amen.
And the more we learn about the Lord, we now know that the more He has given us, and when He's given us salvation, that's just the first one of all the spiritual blessings. Now, how many of those spiritual blessings did He say was ours?
All of them.
All of them. Well, can you think of another one besides salvation? Salvation's the most important one, right? Or at least I think so. Now then, what is another one? What?
Joy.
Okay, the spiritual blessings of joy. Okay, joy is wonderful. How about peace? Is that a wonderful one? What is another one? Can you think of another one?
Healing.
Oh, I know that's not very important, though, is it? Healing is not important unless you're sick. You know, I had a PhD from one of the seminaries when we went down one time. He really gave me a hard time. He said, Thurman, you're too involved with healing. He said, you know, healing's not very important. He said, you don't preach near enough on salvation. He said, you need to get people saved. I said, well, I do preach on salvation. I do teach people how to get saved. And I do see some people come to it, but I said, I'm not a Billy Graham that's seen multitudes of millions. But I said, God didn't call me to do that. He called me to teach His word that pertains to healing. And I said, that's what I'm doing. And I said, he said, well, it's not really that important. I said, you know, you can say that because you look well to me. I said, you know, I'm well and healing's not important because I'm well. So it's okay. But I said, if you were laying on your deathbed and the doctor say you ain't going to live but 3 more months and you're going to be in a hospital the next 3 months, would all of a sudden healing become very important?
Yeah.
I think so. You know, I think it would become very important. But, you know, it's just like, we're talking about that $10 million and all that kind of the money. Let's say, for instance, I already had $500 million in the bank. Let's just, I mean, you know, that, you know, if we're going to step out there and use some wild numbers, why don't we just really go wild? If I had $500 million in the bank and somebody come and said, we have found that we have an inheritance for you, $10 million. $10 million? A measly $10 million? And I only already got $500 million in the bank. I'm not even interested in talking to you. You understand where I'm coming from?
Amen.
I made more last month on my interest than that, you know, $10 million, that's nothing. I got $500 million. I got in the bank drawing 10%. You have any idea how rich I am? So why would I even deal with you? That guy that's trying to scam me for $10,000, he ain't gonna come talk to me. He knows that I'm smarter than that. I didn't obtain $50 or $500 million by being a stupid guy, you know. But you know what happens? When you give people money, you run them. Because the average person, in fact, I've never done this in my church, but I'm going to ask these questions, and I want you to think about this. I did this with a group of men one time. Some of them professed to be Christians. Some of them wasn't Christian, but it's just a group of businessmen that I was associated with. I asked them that question. I said, if you were to come up with $1 million, now these are all educated men. These guys are engineers and CEOs, and you know they've handled money. I said, now if you were to come up with $1 million, not just use 1 million. I said, if something happened, this company or whatever were to give us, and of course that wasn't out of the question. Since the company I work for, several of the men were worth over $1 million, you know, easy over $1 million. I said, if you came into $1 million, I would like for you to write down to me the 20 areas you would spend this money. 20 places. I'd like for you to write it down. And I forget 10 or 12 men or 15 men, whatever there was in this whole group. And some of them professed to be Christians, but some of them didn't. And out of those men, not one single man, worldly men, although they went to church, some of them, not one single man had listed God on there as he would give money back to God. Not one. I mean, they're going to buy him a new $100,000 car so they can ride around in it. Or are they going to buy him a fast, high-powered airplane or something? But they were going to spend that money, and nobody said they were going to help the widow, the children, or they were not going to tie to their church. It was not a single man. Now then, you take that group of men, and I'm going to tell you that God is not going to go out there and bless that group of men, because he says in Deuteronomy 8, he said, I am the one that gives you the power to get wealth. And this is the reason I give it to you. I give it to you to further my kingdom on the earth. Now then, if God gave you $1 million and you said, okay, Lord, I would give this much of it to, well, I'll just name a few places, you know. First of all, the church that I go to, wherever I go to church, I'd give them the first 10%. That's what the Word of God said. Wherever you go to church, wherever you're being fed and you call home, that's the first 10% of all the money that you come needs to go to that place. Now then, somebody said, well, that's $1 million. That'd be $100,000. Well, and I was talking to a man just the other night about this, and he said, there's no way in the church I go to where I'd give we was talking about $1 million. He said, there's no way I would give $100,000 to my church because I don't know what the pastor would do with it. I said, you know, you're not giving that money to that pastor. You're giving that money to God. I said, and God is going to take that pastor and he's going to move on his heart. He's going to spend that money however he wants to. If he don't, he's going to suffer. I said, you know, you got to realize the pastor is not in charge. Now then, I've been talking about Eric here the last few minutes. Eric told me something this last week as we were putting printers. Dave come to me here a while back and said, Pastor, I need some more printers. I said, okay. I think we had three or whatever, two of one kind and one of another kind. And he said, every once in a while, they all break at the same time. And when they do, then we don't have no way to print. So he said, we need some extra ones. I said, well, okay. I said, so we just buy a couple. I said, how much do they cost? I wasn't ready for this. He said, well, they're only about $4,000 a piece. I said, well, $4,000. Now, see, now you can tell how big of a man of faith I am, right? I should have said peanuts for the Lord. No problem. We'll get them. But, you know, I still live in the world. I said, okay, Dave, you need to pray. You need to ask the Lord to do something. So anyway, Dave did. He prayed, and all of a sudden he found on Craigslist a company in Fort Worth that had all good printers, exactly what we needed, and all these printers, and but they wanted you to buy all of them. We only wanted two or three, but they had upgraded and they'd taken out all these old ones and bought brand new ones, and now they wanted to get rid of all the old ones, and they had 29 of them. But they didn't really want to sell just one or two. I said, well, Dave, ask them how much they want for all 29 of them. He said, I did. I said, oh, goodness. Now, you see how great a man of faith I am, right? He said, they want $500 for all of them. Wow! Now then you can understand why I'm screaming, blessed be the God and Father. So we go down to Fort Worth, up on the 33rd floor, 31st floor of some building, and then they get some guys to help us, and they bring all these things down, and it's raining a little that day, so they finally let us back into the garage there, and we download, and they bring them down, we load them into the trailer, and we load that trailer. I took a 20-foot, 8.5-foot wide, 20-foot long enclosed trailer, thinking we can put 29 printers in there with no problem. But I didn't realize that all the printers were not small. Some of them were humongous. So we packed out a trailer, a 20-foot long trailer. Now we brought them up here, and this last week, Dave has hooked these things up just on the other side of this wall. And Charlie was out there the other day showing Charlie how to run these things. And Charlie was out there, and he made four stacks of order forms that big in a couple of hours, wasn't it, Charlie? I mean, you were knocking them out. I mean, Dave's showing Charlie how to run these things. We got printers, and so after all that, there's things sitting here running, just throwing papers, we got stuff running, $500. We must have $100,000, $200,000 worth of printers in there for $500. And so Eric comes up to me and he said, Pastor, I read that scripture that says, if you obey me, I will command the blessings to overtake you. He said, if I ever saw that scripture in operation, when I sat here looking at all these printers, he said, God has commanded the blessings to overtake this ministry. Amen. Now, we needed a couple. We got 29, you know. And in Mike's new shop over there, we're building a shop. Dave asked him, said, do you need a printer? And he said, well, I would really like to have a printer, fax, and all that stuff. Dave said, we just happen to have one. So I went over there the other day, looked in his office, and there is a really nice printer, fax, and the whole nine yards, about that tall, about that big, standing right there ready for him to use it. So he's going to get blessed with a super good piece of equipment, and it ain't going to cost him nothing. You know, in other words, the command of the blessings is coming over and falling over on Mike, because him and his wife, they're serving the Lord. So isn't it amazing how that Paul can sit up on that mountain and scream, blessed be? Are you understanding that whenever God starts commanding the blessings, and just think, he said, how many of those blessings? All of them belong to us. So, I mean, healing is ours, you know. I mean, and just think, when we get a hold of that, where Jesus said, as you have believed, so be it done unto you. As you have believed. It's when I believe that I'm saved, that's when I'm saved, right? When I believe I'm healed under the new covenant, when am I going to be healed? When I believe it. When I believe it. But see, this is the church. I feel so sorry for the church. The church is right where I was most of my life. I was raised up in a church that didn't believe in healing by Jesus. And so I never saw it. I didn't see it happen. Were you raised up in a church like that, Bill? You didn't see the healing power either, right? No, I didn't even know it was available. So I couldn't jump up and scream, blessed be the God and Father that heals me, because I didn't know he did. Because as long as I don't know it, guess what? It don't work. You have to believe it, right, Gracie? You have to believe that God's word means what it says. And then when you believe it, then that's another one of those spiritual blessings that you can receive. And just think of the people. Just think of the people that are Christians, that are good people, people that love God, that people that go to church, like I was in the Baptist church all those years. And I remember one time a little lady, of course, I taught it in my Sunday school class, and so several people come through my Sunday school class and they heard me teaching these things and they saw it was in the Word. So if I'm teaching something that's written in the Bible, am I on safe ground?
Yes.
And so I remember this lady one day up here at the Baptist church. One Sunday morning, we had a new pastor. He'd only been there two or three, four Sundays. And she come up and said, "Thurman, I have felt really bad all week this week. I'm going to ask you to ask the pastor, because he's new and I don't know him," and said, "I know you're one of the deacons here. So I'm going to ask you if you will ask him that this morning, either at the beginning of the service or at the end of the service, that he'll call three or four or five of the deacons and y'all will let me come down to the front and use James 5, 14, 15, and 16 and anoint me with oil and pray for my healing, because I have felt terrible all week. And you showed me in your Sunday school class that James 5, 14, 15 is a healing verse that guarantees me healing every time." Now, is that true?
That's right.
Now, was she on safe ground?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's quoting the Word of God. And so she had learned it because I taught it to her in a Sunday school class. So I told her, I said, "Okay, no problem." I said, "I don't see a problem." I said, "He's only been here three or four or five weeks now, so I don't know." He was in his office, and I walked out. I said, "Hey, brother." I said, "One of the ladies here, Miss So-and-so." "Oh, yeah, I know her." He said, "I've already met her." I said, "She come to me a while ago and said she's not feeling well, and she'd like to be anointed with oil and prayed the prayer of faith for healing either at the beginning or the end of the service." And this guy, he jumped up and right in my face and said, "If you think I'm going to turn this thing into a healing hospital, you got another thing coming." I said, "But brother, she wants to do what God said in the Word." He said, "I don't believe it. I don't believe that." So guess what? I went to her and told her, I said, "Ma'am, get with me after the service and I'll get a couple of the men. We can't use the pastor. He don't believe the Word of God." Now see, when you make a statement like that, a pastor don't believe the Word of God? Somebody says, "Oh, sure he believes the Word of God." No, he doesn't. You know, he does, at least that part he doesn't. And so I got a couple of the guys and we anointed her with oil out in the hallway after everybody had left and prayed for her. And the next Sunday when she came to church, I said, "How do you feel?" She said, "Within 30 minutes after I left, I felt like a brand new woman." Now, did God tell us to do that?
Yes.
If God told us to do that, then if we don't believe Him, then that's one of the spiritual blessings that won't work for us, right? Because if God said something to do something, and how many of these spiritual blessings belongs to us?
All
of them. You know, it's just like prosperity. You know, I mean, we should never have to have a need for money. You know, God promised in His Word, if we tithe, and of course, like DeWitt told us a while ago, one of the biggest problems we got is right here. It's just 1 inch below your nose, a little thing we call the tongue. And so we go around saying, "Oh, I'm so poor. You know, I can't make this. I don't know what I'm going to do. If I don't get a financial blessing, I'm going to go under. I can't make my house payment." Everything you say all day long is negative compared to what God told you to say. Is that right, DeWitt? And He told you that's what brought it upon you, wasn't it, son?
Right.
Yeah. So when you change the way you do business, "Lord, thank you that you told me in your Word to be a tither. So Lord, I'm not going to give you a mere little tithe. I'm going to give you whatever. Depends on how you're blessed. According to the way I'm blessed, I might want to decide. I started out tithing at 10%, but I give a whole lot more than 10%. In fact, you know, Cheryl and I almost give everything we make back to this ministry. You know that? Almost everything. We put nearly everything back. We don't take about 10% or 20%. We want to give it all to God. We want Him to do something great. And so when we give it all back to Him, then I don't have a problem, because all I say is, "Lord, I know my needs are met." Now, we'll have to say that when Dave says we need some printers and they cost about $4,000 or $5,000 a piece, I did a double take. You know how we are, right? You know, because we still live in the flesh too much, right? But then when he found all these, and then of course the last one, the guy told us, I don't even know what Dave knows all these numbers, but there was one printer we was not able to get because our trailer was completely packed out. And he says, I think it was an IBM or something. He said, I have this big printer, great big thing. And he says, if you want it, we'll throw it in for free. So Dave said, one of these days, after he got the trailer unloaded, which we now have it unloaded and cleaned out, he's going to take the trailer in his truck or something, he's going to drive to wherever it is in Fort Worth, and they're going to pick up that great big printer, and he don't even know, I mean, I don't know, he does, what that thing will do. But you know, who knows, that thing, I mean, if you cannot believe what's on the other side of this wall. Is that right, Charlie? I mean, we got printers that are printing and throwing things, and there's paper flying through the air and everything else. I mean, you know, they're sucking it in this side and throwing it out this side, and they're stacking it up, and we got tens of thousands of forms. I mean, those, it's just unbelievable. You know, and when you see God do something like that, it's easy to stand up there with your hands up saying, praise God. Is that right, Eric? You know, so do you know that I think the one thing that we don't do near enough as an individual is we don't praise Him enough. Do y'all agree with that?
Yeah.
You know, the older I get and the more I drive around, I just catch myself just driving with one hand and one hand up in there saying, Lord, I just want to praise You. I just want to thank You. Oh, I just want to thank You, Lord. I'm just like for all these printers out here, Lord, I want to thank You for all these printers. But I want to thank You for my salvation. I want to thank You for that spiritual blessing that You saved me, Lord, because if He didn't save me and somebody hadn't prayed for me and taught me about salvation, you know I could still be lost and headed for hell? And after hearing David Weiss, or Bill Weiss, when Cheryl and I had the privilege to have dinner with him down at the hotel, in Fort Worth Hotel the other night, when he's talking about when he went to hell for 23 minutes, man, you don't want to go to that place. You do not want to go to that place. So it's real easy if somebody has told you about Jesus and you have accepted it. But do you know what gets me before I learned how to pray? I would go up to some guy and I say, are you a Christian? No. I said, so you don't go to church? Well, I go to church once in a while because my wife goes to church, but I don't believe that stuff. I said, do you know that you're headed for a lake of fire? I don't believe that. God's supposed to be a God of love. God would never put us in a lake of fire. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Lots of people will tell you that. I said, but He will. I said, but you don't have to go there. All you got to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I said, He'll forgive all your past sins. He redeemed you from sin. And I said, He'll save you and make you a new person. I said, and he said, what does it cost? I said, nothing. It's free. And he said, that sounds too good to be true. So I don't believe it. Surely I got to do something. You know, that's kind of like the prophet, you know, Elijah, whenever the king of Syria came over and he, I think it was king of Syria that had leprosy or whatever it was. Y'all remember the story? And the prophet wouldn't even come outside to see him. He sent his little servant. I said, go out there and tell him to go down to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. Who does he think I am? He won't even come out to talk to me. And he sends his little servant out. Doesn't he realize I'm the king? And then that king's servant said, but master, if he had told you to go whoop a nation for him so you get it, said, you'd have done that. You'd have done it. But he didn't ask you to do anything hard. He just asked you to go down and be baptized or dip in the Jordan River 7 times. So he said, why don't we at least do that? Oh, he looked at his little servant and said, okay, we'll do that. But it seems too simple, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, you know, if I had to go fight a war, you know, kill 50,000 people or something like that to get my healing, then I could understand. But all I got to do is just go down there and dip in the water for 7 times? No, that sounds too good to be true. But everything in the kingdom's like that, isn't it? Everything Jesus does sounds too good to be true. But it's all true. So they take the king down and he goes down in the water and they raise him up, the little servant. He says, look, it's still there. He said, but sir, he said 7 times. Okay, so I can just see every time he dips his head, look, it ain't working. But sir, he said
7 times.
If Jesus says 7 times, what had you better do? If the word tells you to do something 1 time or 3 times, what had you better do?
Do it.
Exactly what he, I don't understand, God, do you?
No.
No, I don't understand why he said seven times, but I mean, I'm sure there's a reason. But do you know something I learned a long time ago? God don't have to share everything with me. I don't have to know and understand everything. I just want to do what he said do. And then how he does it, it don't make any difference to me. You know, just like I don't know, I still don't understand that little lady that I just told you about at the Justin First Baptist Church, how that we anointed her with oil and prayed for her. I don't know how God healed her, but she said just within a half hour, she was completely well, feeling great. How did he do that? I don't know. It don't make any difference how he did it. He knows what he did, but he forgave her and healed her. So they go down six times, and I can see him when he comes up the sixth time. Look, it's still there. But sir, he said seven times, we need one more time. Now what if this guy said, I don't believe this stuff. Now that happens to us. You know that? We give up. We walk off saying, they prayed for me and it didn't work. I told you this healing stuff won't work. Do we lose our healing like that? Yeah. You know, I mean, I love to tell Kim's story when Scott and Kim came over to Dallas the first time. She'd had back trouble for years. They heard about our ministry and they wanted to come down there, and they came, and the Sunday they came was the Sunday that God spoke to me and said, son, I have several people here that has pain in their bodies. I want you to bring them up and I'm going to heal them. Well, I didn't know what to do. I had no idea how he's going to do that. So I just made that announcement. Now, when I made that announcement, I said, if you got pain in your body, the Lord just spoke to me and told me he has some of his children here today that has pain in their body and he wants to heal you. So I said, if you have pain in your body, come up here. And my goodness, to my surprise, there's about 25 people got up all over the place and came up here and got in a line. And I thought, Lord, what do I do now? He didn't tell me how to do it. He said he was going to do it. So I just took them one at a time. I brought them around on a platform, stood them up there, and I says, you know, I don't know what I'm doing here. All I know is what Jesus told me. So I said, I want you to close your eyes, hang your arms down, and just wait, and I'll just pray over you. And when your pain goes away, I said, then go sit down. Some people, it didn't take 2 or 3 minutes. Some people took 10 minutes. But out of 25 or 30 people, whatever there, it took 2 hours. We didn't have to, all we had that service that day, right? That's all we did. But Kim, she had watched too many Benny Hinn stuff. She thought if she come up there, I was going to come up there and hit her on the top of the head like this and knock her down, you know, and she's going to fall on the floor. And she says, I don't want that. I don't want that. God has never used me like that. He's never knocked anybody down. Never, never, never. If he wants to do that with Benny Hinn, that's okay. He's God, you know, and he can do whatever he wants to do. But he's never used me like that. But she wouldn't come forward because she's afraid she'd get knocked down. So with her back pain, she stayed back at the back. After everybody got prayed for, she realized what was...
The pain was gone.
Ah, the pain. And you didn't even come up. The pain was gone, even in your unbelief.
That's right.
And that's been how many years ago, Kim?
Well, that's about, golly.
7 or 8 years ago?
At least.
And you had no back trouble since?
No.
Now, is God good?
He's awesome.
You see how difficult we make it? I mean, God had all... And did you know that for... Several weeks after that, I would ask, who was here a few weeks ago whenever we had the special service, when those of you that had pain and you came up to be prayed for? How many of you was here? Well, there'd be a few hands go up all over the place. I said, okay, has any of your pain come back? Not a single one of them. After 2 or 3, 4 months, I quit asking. You know, I thought, wow, God healed them all. Now, how did he do that? I don't know. How many of those spiritual blessings belongs to us?
All
of them. You know, so when God moves on a spiritual blessing like that and he says, today, son, I want to heal my children. They got pains in their bodies out there and I want to heal them. Now, what do I have to do? I have to make the decision to tell them what I just heard God say. Does it take faith to do this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What if I hadn't heard him right? Oh, everybody would have, I'd have prayed over all them people. Nobody would have got healed. And they said, you know, Thurman's crazy. And you understand where I'm coming from? When God speaks to you and tells you to do something, you have to make a choice. And you know what? That day, you know the first thing that came to my mind? This sounds too good. You know what I mean, Scott?
I do.
Now you put yourself in my place. And the Lord says, son, our daughter, I have people here today, my children, that have pain in their body. I want you to call them to the front. I'm going to heal every one of them. Now, I have to make a choice. I'm going to tell you or I'm not going to tell you. And I could say, well, Lord, I've already got my message planned today, and I ain't making no exceptions for nobody, not even you.
Oh.
And see, people do that. I mean, when God speaks to us and we don't hear him or don't do what he says, guess who misses it? All of us. We all missed it. I don't even know who all the people were that day that were there, but I know Kim was one of them. And I know she, I didn't know it for a long, long time, that she got healed that day and she didn't even come up. She didn't tell me for a long, long time. Finally, one day she said, you know, I'm going to have to tell you what happened. She said, I wouldn't come because I thought you were going to push me down. And I didn't want that. So she said, I just stayed in my seat. And she said, when it was all over, I realized I had no pain. And she said, I have never had any pain since. So I'm grateful that we serve a God that's merciful, aren't you?
Amen.
And forgives us and gives us all these spiritual blessings. So if we believe him and obey him, just like DeWitt, he had a great testimony he had. And the beautiful part about it was he told us what caused it, his tongue. Now then, if his tongue can do that to him, what can yours do to you? Same thing. You know, you can really get beat up on by your tongue. And so many people do not watch what they say. I mean, I hear it all the time. You know, I run into some guy and he's coming along there and he's not feeling too good. I say, something wrong with you? Yeah, he said, I'm so cotton picking old, I can't hardly get around anymore. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do if I really do live very much longer. I said, well, how old are you? He said, oh, I'm old, I'm 50. 50? And he thinks he's old? Guess what? He's old. It's just like the other day, Tim come to me and said, Dad, I got two old men down here at the gym. I'm having to rehab, whatever you call it. I said, how old are they? He said, one of them's 62 and one of them's 65. I said, son, that ain't old. He said, Dad, these guys are old and they know it. They both know it. He said, one of them's 62, one of them's 65. I said, son, at that time I was like 72. I said, son, I'm 72. I'm 10 years older than the youngest one. He said, but Dad, you don't think you're old. You don't think old. You don't look old. He said, you know you're not old. He said, but these guys at 62 and 65, all they can say is, oh, I'm so old, Tim. I can't do this. I can't lift this weight. That's too heavy for me. He said, Dad, them men both know they're old. Now then, as a man thinketh in his heart, what does it say? So is he. So if we grow up thinking when we get 50 we're old, guess what? You ain't wrong for this world, more than likely. You're going to have to learn to walk in obedience to God's word and do what he says. Wow. But anyway, he says, blessed be, blessed be, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, you have to be in Christ for this to work for you. And if you're in Christ, then all these blessings, not one or two, not some, not one. So when we're praying, do you know when we're really praying for healing? Do you know it's already ours? We don't have to pray for healing. We just have to declare it. That's why the Lord said in John 14, 13, 14, whatever you demand in my name, it's yours. Because the spiritual blessing for healing is ours. But if we get down and get sick and start saying, like DeWitt told us, I can't make it. I'm sick. I'm hurting. I'm depressed. The Lord told him. He opened the door. Do you hear him say the Lord told him he opened the doors to all kinds of wickedness? They were having a heyday with him. Don't you know they just love it whenever we give them legal right? Here we are, sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're healed by Jesus. We're saved by Jesus. And we're not confessing it. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, let me ask you a question. How many people do you know in the church today that you think are walking holy before God today? How many people? Not very many? So give me a definition. Maybe I don't want to put you on the spot. If you don't want to answer, you don't have to. But if give me a definition, somebody, anybody, give me a definition of what you think it is to be holy before God. What? Somebody just anybody.
Blameless.
Do what?
Blameless.
Blameless. Okay, that's one. Now, what would you have to do to be blameless?
And just know what the Word of God tells you, what to live holy and pure before God.
And that's no. So, in other words, if you're just lying a little once in a while to somebody,
it's not gonna work.
It ain't gonna work.
Not even a white lie.
Not even a little bitty lie.
None.
How about if you get into a little anger or rage
Absolutely
once in a while?
Absolutely not.
I can't have none of that.
None.
I mean, but you don't understand what she did to me.
No, none.
This girl, she's not being easy to get along with, is she? But I think she's right, don't you? In other words, how much anger can I have?
None.
How much bitterness can I have?
None.
Gee, this stuff is tough, walking with God and being holy and blameless. And is it tough?
It is.
In other words, if somebody really gets down on you and really starts flapping you around, and maybe verbally or physically, it's kind of hard to walk in that love walk, isn't it?
I pray every morning that God will help me not to sin today.
Amen.
With my tongue, my thoughts, my actions.
Yeah. Because you have learned what the results are when you walk holy before Him.
Amen.
Now see, in other words, she gets to walk without sickness.
Amen.
If you walk holy before God, then you can claim those things like healing is mine. And you don't have to be sick anymore. You notice that DeWitt, you remember, I keep going back to him. He learned his lesson the hard way. So we want to learn from his mistakes, right? We don't want to get there in that sin. It says, wow, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's pretty tough. Let's go on to the next couple of verses. Let's go on here. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what we wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. That's what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Think about this. At one time, you were like Eric. You was lost and you were the wicked sinner, right, Eric? I mean, I was lost and a wicked sinner. And you know you were. I mean, we don't have to do all the things I said a while ago, because all you got to do is just not know Jesus, you're a wicked sinner, right? So, but you can throw a lot of things in on top of that, right? I mean, think of the people that don't even come close to meeting the criteria of walking holy before God. Don't even come close. But if we will obey Him and we come to know Jesus and we realize what He's done, it says, so we praise God. I really believe that this week, the way the Lord's been working on my heart to praise Him, I think, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that none of us praise Him enough. I really think that when we leave here today, we ought to praise Him. When on the way home, we ought to praise Him. I've had several people ask me this question. I meet somebody new. I said, hi, praise the Lord. And they say something else. And I said, well, praise the Lord. And after about 10 or 15 minutes, they say, is that all you know how to say is praise the Lord? I don't even realize I'm doing it. You know what I mean? But that's just a word or a set of words that just comes out of my heart whenever I meet somebody or anybody. I'm around my grandchildren. They say something, I say, praise the Lord. You know, is there anything wrong with that?
Not at all.
If God told us to praise Him, see, I'm grateful because He saved me and He healed me and He delivered me. And if that ain't good enough to praise Him for, we got a problem, right?
Right.
Wow. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out. You know what He could have done? He could have said, you know, there's old wicked Thurman down there. He's worthy of death. I think I'll just go ahead and fry him, throw him into hell. He could have done that, couldn't he? He could have, but he didn't. He chose to give us a chance to come to Him and to know Him as Lord and Savior. And then He tells us, walk holy How much lying?
None.
Now, you know, this girl here, I don't want her around. She won't let me sin at all. Dude, you hear? This girl's pure and clean. She's tough, isn't she, Charlie?
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Why do you think she's so tough?
Oh, because I know some bad stuff.
Yeah. So when you get into anger and rage and bitterness and all that kind of stuff and you get out of your love walk, we know what happens, don't we, Charlie?
We
don't like it whipping from the Lord, do we?
No.
And you know that too, don't you? And so she wants to walk holy before God too. Wow, praise the Lord. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. Verse 7 and 8. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Now look at that verse 8. He has showered us with kindness along with how much? How much wisdom? Isn't it amazing the number of times when we read what he's given us all? So why do we have such tremendous needs in the church then? What is the problem? We don't know what's ours. Just like I was talking to a man this last week, and I told him on the phone, he was having a terrible time getting healed, and I said, "Sir, do you really know some scriptures that guarantee the healing power of God is for you?" He said, "No." I said, "Okay, that's why you can't get healed." I said, "Because this is a faith kingdom that we live in. And you have to receive his word by faith." I said, "If you don't know a scripture that you can stand on, you can't receive something by faith that you don't know belongs to you." Is that right? So when you start getting into these powerful scriptures that belongs to you, think of the people that if they would only realize all I got to do is confess my sin and stand on the promises of God. And then, of course, this is what we do. We have somebody come up maybe and say, "Pastor, will you pray for me?" So I lay my hands on you and say, "In Jesus' name, it's done." Now, that's all I got to do, right, Mike? Now, if this is what we'd like for him to do it every time, just like he healed your back, right? When your lovely bride prayed for you and just, Mike says, "One heartbeat, I was completely healed." Now, is that the way we'd like for it to happen? Does he always do it like that? No, he does not. Now, he could spoil us real quick if we had done all of us like he did you, right, Mike? And we would love that, wouldn't we? But see, he has purpose in those times when he doesn't heal us instantly. But what happens, we're like the king, the Syrian king. We got to dip 7 times. We dip 5 times, we say, "This ain't going to work. I'm hanging this up. Forget it. It's over." And we walk off. Is that what we do? Many of us. I've had people come in here and say, "Pastor, I've been here 3 Sundays in a row. You prayed for me every Sunday, and I'm not healed." Well, if that's what's in their heart, they ain't never going to get healed. They got to come back, and every time, they got to be like Jack. Jack was the one who had the big tumor on the back of his hand. He'd had it for 40 years. Pretty well been there a long time, right? 40 years he'd had that tumor. Am I telling this story right, Jack? He had the big tumor on the back of his hand, and he came up and said, after he got his back healed, and God almost instantly healed his back, so he said, "I want you to pray and ask God to take that tumor off." He said, "My daughter is a surgeon, and she wants to cut it off for me, but I'm not going to let her cut it off because I don't want a scar there. I want Jesus to take it off without a scar." And so we prayed. The next Sunday when he came in, I said, "How's your tumor?" He said, "It's gone." I said, "Good, let me see it." He held his hand. I said, "Jack, you lied. It's still there." He said, no, we prayed and I believed, it's gone. He said, "It hadn't manifested yet, but it's gone." Every Sunday that he was here, of course, he's a businessman, he travels quite a bit, he wasn't here every Sunday, but when he was here, I'd ask Jack, "How's the tumor?" He said, "It's gone." I'd look at it and it's still there. One day, 8 months, total 8 months later, I said, "Jack, how's your tumor?" He said, "It's gone." I said, "Let me see it." I held it, I said, "Glory to God, it's really gone." I said, "Jack, let's jump up and praise the Lord." He said, "I've been praising him all the time. It's gone 8 months ago, as far as I'm concerned." Now, why do you think it went away? Because he did exactly what God told him to do. Do not cast away your confidence in the word. Is that right?
Amen.
But you have need of patience. Now, we don't do patience very well.
No.
I'm okay, Mike, as long as it happens like yours did. I love your kind of healing. In fact, next time I have some need, I'm going to have your wife pray for me if it happened that good for you. But, you know, he might not heal me like he did you either, you know. So, but we get spoiled to that, don't we? Oh, we get spoiled when God answers our prayer instantly. Don't you love it when God answers your prayer instantly? Yes, I do too. I love that. But does he always do it like that? No, he does not. But see, you've got to stay just like Jack did. If it wouldn't have made any difference if it had taken 2 years, I'm completely convinced that every time I asked Jack, is that thing gone? He'd have said yes, but it was still there. But in his mind's eye, it's gone. It's done. Jesus made me the promise, it's done. And then Dave's healing took him 20 months, but Dave fought the fight and stayed with it 20 months, and he got healed. And so, if we do not give up, will we see the glory of God? And the more you praise him and thank him, the quicker you're going to see your answer. He loves that, doesn't he, Charlie? He loves for us to praise him, right? Yeah, praise God. He really does. Wow. Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you, Lord, that you are the King. You're our Lord and our God. And Lord, we ask for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding how to be about your business, to do the things you called us to do, to talk to people about Jesus, lead people into the kingdom of God, get people saved, healed, and delivered. Now, Lord, I praise you and thank you for giving us the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding how to do that. And Lord, the people that we're going to minister to, I ask you to move on their hearts and open their hearts. Give them revelation, wisdom, and understanding from your word, that when we talk to them, they will begin to understand how to receive the things of God, so they'll be able to understand the spiritual blessings that not only belongs to us, but it will belong to them once they become children of God. And some of them may already be children, but they have no idea of these wonderful spiritual blessings that already belong to them. So Lord, begin to reveal yourself to them and use us for your glory, that we may have a great and awesome week this week. May this week be the best week we've ever had as far as winning souls and bringing people into the kingdom of God and getting people healed. Lord, I thank you for next Saturday, which is a healing school. And I ask you to bring people from all over the world, and then, Lord, show them, reveal to them, as Dave and Jeff and I teach them the principles of the kingdom, and that people will receive and heal, get healed. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.